kind of it. Okay. What in this broken world is happening? It's hard to believe this is number 8 that we're doing already, and I keep saying we're going to probably have to keep going on till about 80 until I can think what we're going to do next, although Mark had come up with an idea that I'm going to be looking at. What in this world is happening? Last week as we looked at this subject, it was about debt. And I was saying that our nation's debt grows at a rate of £5,170 per second. That's nearly like Jimmy's pension. £5,170 per second. We are a nation of debtors. There are those in this broken world who love money so much that they will seek to accrue it or borrow it at whatever cost. In fact, there are some that love money more than God. And God's word says the love of money is the root of all evil. And we've got to make that clear. There's nothing wrong with money. Jesus didn't condemn money. What he says is the love of money is the root of all evil. Jesus said a man's life, a woman's life, a person's life doesn't consist in the abundance of their possession. There are people who will seek to accrue possessions and possessions and possessions, but those possessions will not buy them another breath when their number's up. Those possessions will do them no favors. A rich man once came to my dad's house, and people know my dad was an alcoholic, but he loved his kids. And we didn't have a lot in life. And our house was carpeted by stuff that he found at the dump. And we used to watch our dad bringing big carpet home from the skips and embarrassed. They said, oh, please God, let him throw it in the bonfire. But it came up and it did our living room, you know. And that was the sort of house that we lived in at the time. But, you know, my dad made sure we were fed, that we were clothed or whatever else. We didn't have the best of stuff in the house. But this rich man came to the house one night. A very, very rich person. Christian man. And he came in and he looked around and he just said to my dad, Jackie, he says, I can see you don't have too many of the world's treasures. And he said, maybe I show you something. And he led him up the stairs into each of our rooms. And he says, there's my treasures. And how wonderful was that? Jesus said, a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of his possessions. Or what shall it profit a man, a woman, a person? What shall it profit if you inherit the whole world but lose your soul? God also warns us about debt in Proverbs 22 and verse 7. He says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, to put it differently, those who get into debt can become slaves to their lenders. For some, debt is a modern day form of slavery and can lead to mental health problems. It can cause sleepless nights, high blood pressure, and it can actually induce some people to commit suicide. But having said this, nowhere in the Bible does it teach that it is a sin to borrow money. God's word is clear. It's a sin to borrow money and not pay it back. It's wrong to lend money at high interest rates. So are you a slave? That's what I was asking last week. Are you a slave to your lenders? Are you making slaves of your borrowers? Is it any wonder the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 13 and verse 8, owe no one anything except to love one another. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question tonight, and we'll see if anybody can work it out. What do you think is the most common wrong thing that we humans do? Please don't say anything too bad, right? But what do you think is the most common wrong thing that we humans do? Do you want to get up here and do this talk, Sandra? Lying is it. Lying, Christians, unbelievers, everybody tells lies. And see if you're sitting there saying, well, I don't. You've just proved you're a liar. Yeah. We lie to one another. We lie to ourselves. We even have the brass neck to lie to a holy God. God, who knows all the secrets of our hearts, who knows everything about us, we have the brass neck to lie to a holy God. And isn't it just as well that God is merciful? As was said this morning, but for the atonement of Jesus Christ, but for the atonement made by Jesus Christ, God could wipe us out. As I said, he didn't have a salvation plan for the angels, but he has a salvation plan for us. He is patient toward us. He is long-suffering toward us. He loves us with an everlasting love. And he could justly, if he so desired, wipe us off planet Earth and into hell for one single lie. Even some religions teach people that it's okay to tell lies as long as it's not perjury, as long as it's not done under oath. I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing like the truth, so help me God. That's usually what you hear in the boxes in the court. It's not really, but it's I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But then they go on to lie through their teeth. And it's usually the barristers and the solicitors who are doing it. You don't have to even think of Westminster. You know, it should just be lie, house of lies. Yeah. That's not saying that all politicians necessarily go out of their way to deceive, but there's not a human being on earth who doesn't tell lies, and politicians are very good at it. I put a status on my WhatsApp last week, and it said this: a lie is an abomination unto the Lord, but a very present help in time of need. Now, can anybody tell me what chapter and verse in the Bible this can be found in? A lie is an abomination unto the Lord, but a very present help in time of need. Well, of course, as anybody knows, it's not in the Bible. That's just a bit of humor. But I was actually surprised how many people thought it was a Bible verse, that they thought it was out of God's word. It sounds biblical and it's convincing, but it's a complete contradiction of the word of God. There was a man, he came home one night from work with a lie detector machine. And it was a robot. And it's lie detector, you see. And he thought, well, try it out. So the 13-year-old son, he comes home 3 hours late from school. And the dad says, where have you been all this time? And the wee lad says, oh, I was in the school library doing homework. And the robot cracks him one across the face. And the wee lad, oh. And the dad explains, son, listen, the robot is a lie detector. You better tell the truth. Why are you so late? Okay, I was at my mate's house and we were watching a film, The Ten Commandments. Whack! Robot hits him up the face again. He says, okay, it was a porn movie. It was a porn movie. And the dad goes, I'm absolutely ashamed of you. I never watched porn in my age. And the robot cracks the dad. And the mother bursts out laughing and says, that robot knows that that's definitely your son. Crack, the robot hits her up the back. And the mother says, he's definitely your boy. Crack. So what in this broken world is happening is society is rife with lies. And it would seem that lies and lying are just part of everyday life in every culture and in every society in our world. The Scottish novelist Walter Scott said, oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. Hear that? What a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. Mankind started practicing deceit way back in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve lied to God about sinning, and mankind has had a lot of practice since then in deceit. A web of deceit entangles this entire broken world. You will not go anywhere in this world where you cannot find lies. Doesn't matter where you, even in the church, you will find lies. A web of deceit entangles the entire broken world, and we're all guilty of adding to it, aren't we? Nobody's saying no. Thank God, there would have been a stoning at the end of the service. We've all been practicing deceit from we could first speak. Do you ever notice, you know, some of those things when they're watching kids on the TV and they're plastered in chocolate all over their face, and the mum will say, "Did you eat those biscuits?" "No." "No." Who taught that child to lie? It just came naturally. Who taught us to tell lies? In his novel 1984, George Orwell wrote about the thought police, it was called Thoughtpol, who could discover and punish thought crime. So if you even thought something that was contrary to the party, you could be arrested, once discovered, arrested and punished just for thinking a crime. Imagine if, like the lie detector robot, imagine there was a means of discovering and punishing thought lies. Lie pole. Discovering and punishing lies being calculated before they're actually told. Think about that for a moment. Think about if there was some sort of lie pole detector that could detect if you were thinking about telling a lie before you could tell it. It could stop you. I wonder how different our broken world would be if that was the case. I wonder how many relationships would not be ruined if calculated lies were pre-detected and prevented. How many people wouldn't be hurt? How many people wouldn't be robbed of something if calculated lies were pre-detected and prevented? Lying is considered the most common wrong thing that we humans do. And yet, who here likes to be called a liar? I had this person when I worked up in Kilkelly some years ago. I'm sure they'll forgive me for telling them, not tell their name. But I had annoyed them because, Christian or not, you know, I had annoyed them because I didn't do what they wanted done. And I couldn't do what they wanted done. It was out of my hands and in the hands of the organizations. And they came into the office and said, "You're supposed to do this, you're supposed to do that, you call yourself a Christian." And I said, "Well, yeah, I'm a Christian. Not a very good one, but I am a Christian." And then they stormed out, screaming obscenities at me, and then shouted, "Once a bad man, always a bad man." And I thought, oh, and it was like poof, right in there. And I thought, "Lord, is that the case? Is that the case?" But you think about it, once a liar, always a liar. Once a thief, always a thief. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Do we believe this? Or can Christ set us free? Once a bad man, always a bad man. Lying is considered to be the most common wrong thing that we humans do. Someone said, lying is an unavoidable part of human nature. Do you hear that? Lying is an unavoidable. They're trying to justify lying. They're trying to tell us that it's unavoidable. So you may as well just lie. You may as well just keep on lying. And if you can get away with it, so long as it's not under perjury, so long as it's not perjury under the court of law and under oath, then it's not really telling lies. So just go ahead and tell lies. Because it's an unavoidable part of human nature and we all just have to put up with it. But is it? Lying is very much a part of this broken world. And every lie, be it white or black, every lie adds to this world's brokenness. Every lie adds to this world's brokenness. But is lying unavoidable? Or is it part of our human makeup, our sinful nature, that we just have to try to overcome? Well, turn please to Proverbs chapter 6. And I'm going to read from verses 16 through to 19. Proverbs was written by King Solomon, wisest man that ever lived, and he spent much of his life with the wisdom that he had looking at life and writing down his findings on life. And this is what he said. These six things the Lord hates. Imagine having the brass neck to think that you know God and how God works. But the scriptures are inspired by God. And so Solomon was inspired by God to make this known. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look. Do you ever see that? Do you ever see them arrogant people? And they'll look at you like you're a piece of dirt on their shoe. And they forget that they're sinners themselves. I hate people like that. They wind me up. Something shocking. A proud look. A lying tongue. My dad would have put up with anybody in the house. And we know, and anybody knows my family, the brothers and all, we were never out of trouble. Peelers were always at the door raiding the houses and searching and whatever else. And my dad would have put up with that. But he could not stand a liar. And if he found you lying, you knew you were in for a beating. He couldn't hack it. I remember getting the butt of a rifle on the chin one night for lying to him. And knocked me right down the stairs. You just did not lie to my dad. Or there was this guy who was a constant liar. Everybody knew him as a liar. But he was a mate of mine. And he couldn't tell the truth under any circumstances about anything. He was just a compulsive liar. And when he came into the house, you know, my dad would just say to him, out. He hardly got his foot over the threshold. Out. Couldn't have him in. And then he made a promise to my dad, I'll not lie. And when he came into our house, he never lied to my dad. And showed you can actually deal with it. You can actually deal with it. But anyway, look at what it says. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. That's murderers. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift to running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies. And one who sows discord among brethren. A crop stirrer. Hear what's being said. Listen again. These are an abomination unto God Almighty, unto a holy God. He can put up with a whole lot of stuff, but these things are an abomination. A proud look, an arrogant person who looks down their nose at other people who think they're high above everybody else. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. The Lord hates lies. Of the seven things that God considers an abomination, two of them are about lying. A lying tongue and a false witness who speaks lies. God can't make this any more clear. If you're worried about some wee sin in your life, and don't get me wrong, all sin is sin that needs to be dealt with before a holy God. But he cannot stand these things. Further on in Proverbs 12, verse 22, lying lips are an abomination. He's telling us it twice, and when God tells you something twice, you need to listen. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. Hear that? Those who deal truthfully, God delights in them. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But it is possible to deal truthfully. What in this broken world is happening is that we have practiced deceit for so long, it just now comes naturally to us to lie to one another, to ourselves, or even to a holy God who hates lies. Do you know that Adolf Hitler said, if you tell a big enough lie and tell it frequently enough, it will be believed. Not an incredible statement from Adolf Hitler. If you tell a big enough lie and tell it frequently enough, it will be believed. And look at the lie that he told. that the Jews are an abomination. And 6 million Jews were wiped out, all because people believed the lie. Now that may be indeed true, but even if we tell small lies long enough, we will believe them. And every lie is an abomination unto the Lord. And we all use them. We all tell them when we think we need to. Hypothetically proving the adage, a lie is an abomination unto the Lord, but hey, it's a very present help in time of need. I've done it. We've all done it. We can all rhyme off the verses that will tell us it's wrong. But really, when we're put on the spot, a lie is a very present help in time of need, but it is an abomination unto the Lord. When God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, one of those commandments stated, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Which forbids, let me explain what that means, because you know people say it means all different things. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. It means it forbids speaking falsely in any matter whatsoever. It means lying. You shall not lie. It means equivocating. Flashy word means for fudging. Using all different fluffy language to try to cover up a lie about something. It means in any way devising or designing to deceive another person. And it doesn't matter if it's about money. It doesn't matter if it's about bills. It doesn't matter if it's about taxes. It doesn't matter about, oh, your hair looks really nice when it doesn't. It doesn't matter what lie you're telling. It is an abomination unto the Lord. You can't justify what God says is an abomination. We can say, but I'm just being polite. Don't want to hurt their feelings. Don't worry about their feelings. They can get their hair fixed. It also means not speaking unjustly against another to defame or mar their character. Now, I will say this tonight, and I'm going to give a monkey's, I'll probably get arrested, but I'll probably get arrested sometime again anyway. When I got taken to court because of the situation about the guy who was hidden in my roof space, this is the peeler said, this guy was locked away in my roof space. I didn't have a roof space. My top, what used to be a roof space, was a fully renovated bedroom. There's no roof space. The police then said, and they couldn't even get their story right. The police, one man got up into the dock and he said, the person asked, where was Mark Gordon when the prisoner was being taken out of the house, which was Jimmy Bryson? Where was Mark Gordon? Well, he was standing shouting, this is like 1941 Germans. The Nazis, you're like the Nazis. He was screaming at us. I'm thinking, I wouldn't even know the history. Like I'd have probably got the date wrong. The next officer gets up into the thing. Where were you when the prisoner was being taken out? I was at the bottom of the stairs. Where was Mark Gordon? He was standing midway up the stairs. What was he doing? He was talking quietly to the detective. Was he shouting anything about 1941 Nazi Germans? No, absolutely not. Did Mark Gordon slam the door in your face and, you know, try to catch the police officer's fingers in the door? No, he opened the door and asked us, did we have a warrant? And I have to tell you this, every one of those police officers who actually get into the dock told lies. Everyone, and we're supposed to trust the police. Every one of them told lies. And I honestly thought that day that I was going to go to jail. And the judge made the decision based on another thing, which was a phone call that I had made to the area commander. And he said, based on that, he says, this man's not guilty. And it shocked me because openly in the court, in front of everybody, officers lied under oath, lied through their teeth. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, whether you like them or not. I'm not against the police. I'm just telling you that was an event that happened in my life. It also means not speaking unjustly against another person to defame or to mar their character, and that's what I felt was happening to me at the time. And I had committed it all unto God and said, please, Lord, you know that how I got involved with this was from a genuine reason that the police asked me to do this. God commands us not to lie. Therefore, it's possible not to do it. What in this broken world is happening is society is rife with lies because it's the most common wrong thing that we humans do. But we shouldn't be adding to the web of deceit that entangles our world. And that is what we're doing when we're lying. The Russian novelist, and I've tried to say his name, Fyodor Dostoevsky or something like that. I can't really say it very well. But he said these words, above all, don't lie to yourself. The person who lies to him or herself and listens to their own lie comes to a point that they cannot distinguish the truth within or around them, and so loses all respect for themselves and others. And having no respect, they cease to love. What an incredible statement. Hear that again. Above all, don't lie to yourself. The person who lies to him or herself and listens to their own lie comes to a point that they cannot distinguish the truth within or around them, and so loses all respect for themselves and others. And having no respect, they cease to love. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you're telling lies, you will cease to be able to love your neighbor. If you continue telling lies, Christian, you will cease to be able to truly love God. In this broken world, entangled in a web of deceit, lies make us unable to distinguish truth, lose any respect for ourselves and others, causing our love to grow cold, and can make us an abomination unto the Lord as liars. So, Christian, the message tonight is simple. Don't add to the web of deceit that entangles our broken world by lying to others, by lying to yourself or to God, but walk in the truth and live by truth. And may we, like the psalmist, say, I hate and abhor lying, but I love your word, O Lord. Maybe tonight there's someone here and you're not yet a Christian. Maybe you're watching on Facebook or you're listening to our podcast and you're not yet a Christian. You may be a very upright person who doesn't tell lies. Well, you're not fooling me, but you might be that sort of person. You think you don't tell lies and you're not adding to the web of deceit entangling our broken world. Well, you may not lie, but because you're not a Christian, you're believing lies others are telling you, including Satan, who is the father of lies. And he says to you, you do not need to repent. You do not need to turn away from your sin and your sinful lifestyle and put your trust in Jesus. You don't need to do these things to be saved. You're a good person. You'll go to heaven anyway. You are believing the lies of the devil. They tell you you don't need to trust in Jesus for forgiveness of sin and everlasting life. But God's word says, for you to be saved, for you to be delivered from his coming judgment against all sin, including lies, you must repent. You must turn around from living your life your sinful way and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Jesus to help you to live how he wants you to live. So the final question tonight is this: who or what will you believe? Let's pray. Father, please forgive us when in our sinfulness and sinful nature we persist in telling lies. We have many years, Lord God, of practicing deceit. It's part of our old nature. But those who are in Christ are new creations in Christ. And we don't have to live like that anymore. Help us to walk in truth, to live in truth, and to glorify you, Lord God, by exalting your truth. Help us not, Lord God, to lie to you, to ourselves, or to others. But help us to speak the truth in love, so that others, Lord God, might be set free. We don't want to add to the web that entangles this broken world by our lying. Please help us to walk in truth. And Father, I pray for anyone tonight who are entangled in lies, who think that they can't tell the truth anymore because it will cause them too much heartache and pain. Lord, help them to see that through faith in Jesus Christ, you can deliver them from that. You can set them free from that. You can, Lord God, lead them in the paths of truth and of righteousness. And may they, pardon me, Lord, may they put their trust in you. Lord, please, tonight we also pray for people who are believing the lies of Satan or the lies of others, Lord God, that tell them they don't need to repent. They don't need to put their trust in Jesus, that they're a good person. Lord, please help them to see that these are lies that come from hell. And may they believe the truth that, as Jesus said, unless a person is born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. And may people tonight believe Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. We ask it in his glorious name. Amen.